want to publicly thank the Mass Choir, Unified Choir. On Thursday, we ministered together at Queens Chapel United Methodist Church. I'd been taking an executive coaching course in Harford County, 5 days for like 7 hours each day. Broke away on Thursday, and the choir and members are seated and waiting to worship the Lord and to be ministers in worship on Thursday. And I said to them downstairs, I don't like to go anywhere where I'm ministering for the Lord by myself. It's not a one-person show. It's the family of faith. And when you about to go into a fight, you want some fighters with you. So when you go in worship, it is a battle because Satan does not want us to go and grow and hear from where God wants us to go. So I had backup. Holy backup on Thursday night, for which I'm thankful. And we have ministry backup in a variety of ways. We ask that you continue to hold Sister Laura Copeland in your prayers. And while I was away, Sister Karen informed me by text, and then we began to, through the other ministries, to make contact and determine what we can do and how we should pray for Sister Laura, how we might support the family, knowing that they were in the process of funeralizing a family member around that same time period. But I got periodic checkups from Sister Karen and Sister Pam and some others. So God is using us in ways that we might not think of as significant, but they make a difference in the household of faith, knowing that people are cared for and loved. So we ask that you continue to keep Sister Laura in your prayers and our brother Barry in your prayers, and those who are home and recovering at home and in hospitals, keep them covered in your prayers. The scripture that was read in your hearing by Sister Danielle, I want to use the Message version, and we should remember both texts because it was one of our generating generosity texts. The Message version reads just a portion of it. A stingy planter gets a stingy crop. A lavish planter gets a lavish crop. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it. Somebody say, God loves it. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. I'd like to teach this morning for a few moments. Give until it feels good. Give until it feels good. Repeat after me, please. Possibilities are fertile when giving feels good. Come on, you know, say it like you mean it. Possibilities are fertile when giving feels good. You know, we cut the D off on this. Good. When you taste something, you have something that tantalizes your taste buds, that was good. You take the D off, good. Give until it feels good. Most of us have heard the expression, give until it hurts. This is based on the fact that most of us don't give from our excess, but from what we have left over. Did you hear what I just said? Most of us give what we can spare. You know, somebody say, can I hold a couple of dollars? I just got some chump change. That's what we can spare. As quiet as it's kept, a number of us are still giving to the Lord what basically is chump change. What costs us little or nothing. Some people lack the spiritual understanding regarding giving that they think that they are giving to the church. Some people think that around offering time they're giving to the finance ministry, or they think that they're giving to the pastor. Some think that when they give, it is a payment to the budget. It's not. When we give to the Lord. Did you hear what I said? When we give our tithes and offerings, we give to the Lord. And what most of us give to the Lord basically costs us chump change. Little or nothing. And get this, the attitude towards giving is seen not only in terms of monetary offerings, but other kinds of gifts as well. When a general appeal is made for the congregation and members to get involved in church ministry, quite often there are no new volunteers within the church. It's still the faithful few doing most of the work. The call goes forth to help the needy. Think about the kinds of contributions that some folk seem to make to people. Some people use appeals for clothes and for coats and blankets as an opportunity to get rid of all the junk in their closets, all the stuff in their basement. Some give clothes that are raggedy and dirty and smelly and are not fit for anybody to wear. Giving clothes that are good but a little out of style is one thing. Giving clothes that no longer suit your taste is one thing. And giving away something that we have outgrown and knowing that we're not going to grow smaller to fit it is one thing. But giving away clothes that are raggedy and worn and smelly is something different altogether. Am I making any sense? Some of us give away food the same way. If we don't want to eat unhealthy food that has expired dates on it, what makes us think that we ought to give it to somebody else to eat? Huh? Most of us donate food. We reach into the back and the bottom of the cabinet for cans that contain something that we don't want, don't like, or we go to the dollar store. Don't look at me funny, you know I'm right. Some of us give our service the same way. We will accept only those responsibilities that we can perform in our chump change, in our spare time. We accept the comments that cause, or the commitments, I should say, that cause us no inconvenience to our lifestyle or our schedule. We don't want to do anything that will require or need some serious time, attention, and commitment from us. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God doesn't think or operate like some of us do. Aren't you glad that the Lord never says when you pray, I'm sorry, I'm just overbooked right now. I just can't fit you into my schedule. Can you pray back later? Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't say, can I come back to you on that prayer request? I don't have time right now. Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't say, as soon as I free up a blessing, do you mind using the blessing that so-and-so finished with? Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't say, do you mind? I'm just kind of overwhelmed. Can you mind checking with Buddha? You mind calling Muhammad? I just don't have time right now. Family, There's another level of giving that is known as sacrificial giving. People know that when they have given at this level because their gift to God causes a decline in the cash in their wallet, in their pocketbook, on their ATM card. Sacrificial giving causes a noticeable decrease of leisure time and leisure money. Through sacrificial giving, we don't give from our reserves, but from our regular operating funds that we are planning to use for something else. This means a person digs deep and the giving hurts. I have a problem with the expression give till it hurts, family, because some of us don't have to give very much before it starts hurting. I ain't talking about nobody in particular. No matter how much abundance we have, some of us start hurting after we give a dollar. Others of us hurt after we give $5. Some of us are hurting after we give $10. Some of us are hurting, and we've been giving the same way since 1975. We give one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost. Some folk hurt. My grandfather, he living with the Lord now, but he was tired. We called him Hop the Miser. I remember one time I was out in Catonsville and stopped by. He's standing in front of Elk's home and all his buddies are with him. And he always would peel out 50s, 20s, 10s, 5s, and ease out a 1. But this particular day, my grandfather only had 50s. And he rolled back and rolled back and rolled back. And I saw him getting tight. But he couldn't look bad in front of his boys. So he said, here. I couldn't wait to get in the car. I called all of my siblings. He can't get me till I get to heaven so I can tell that story. It hurts so much for some of us to give. Even if it's something that we haven't used in years, and the probability is we will never use it anymore, huh? We'd rather hold it in a trunk, put it in a box, put it in the basement, even pretending like we don't have it, rather than having someone benefit from what we have and use it. When we are asked to give of our time, we can convince ourselves that we are just too busy. Some of us say that we're overstretched and we've got too much to do, when the truth is we're just lazy. Or we just don't want to commit. Family, our goal should not be to give until it hurts, but to give until it feels good. Our text reminds us, I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and to make up your mind of what you will give that will protect you against soft stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. Family, in order to be able to give until it feels good, let's be clear about what Apostle Paul said and what he didn't say. Paul wrote, I want each of you to take plenty of time to think. Make up your own mind of what you will give. Paul didn't write, each of you must give as your neighbor gives, or as you think your neighbor is giving. Nothing, family, can rob us of joy of giving as quickly as comparing our giving to what we think someone else is giving. We can and should give our best and feel good about it. Did you hear what I said? We can and we should give our best and feel good about it. If others give more than we do, if we are not careful, we will begin to feel ashamed and resent and feel embarrassed about our gift, about what we're giving. And if we are not careful, the devil will make us feel ashamed about our gift. Family, once that happens, the devil has won the victory by taking your joy out of giving. Once we lose the joy of giving, we may not even give what we can give. Encourage your partner, your pew partner, please say this. Don't let the devil steal your joy to give. If we do, we'll say inside of ourselves, why should I give? My little won't help. Family, we must never allow anyone to cheapen our gifts, including ourselves. When we read the scriptures, we observe that Jesus never cheapened any gift, no matter how little or how much it was. Jesus never looked down on anyone's gifts that they gave to be used to advance the gospel. When Jesus provided a major blessing of feeding 5,000 plus women and children, he did it from a little boy's brown lunch of grilled fish and bread. Huh? There were those who had cheapened the widow's two mites, but Jesus declared that because she had given all that she had. Now, text says, I want each of you to take plenty of time and think it over and make up your own mind of what you will give. That will protect you from sob stories. Man, I ain't got it. I don't know why they keep asking me. I ain't got no more to give. I don't know why the pastor think I got all that money. And arm twisting's coming up. We have to make these long appeals. God loves it when the giver delights in the giving. We can make a sacrificial gift and feel good and then look at the little that others give. And guess what? We could really get mad. We get mad at them because of what we think they gave. We find ourselves asking, why should I stress myself and give when the so-called big ballers will talk about how much they got, those who say they got big bank, and key leaders talking about what needs to be done, and they're giving little. Why should I give what I have? I feel you. But the truth is this. We can't give what belongs to somebody else. You can't give what's in my pocket, and I can't give what's in your pocket. They may be able to do better, but until they allow the Lord to speak to their heart, until their heart is softened and their hand becomes open, until then, they will be stingy. So it makes no sense to frustrate ourselves allowing someone else's cheapness. It makes no sense to allow someone else's stingy spirit to infect our spirit of generosity. Besides, we know how good God has been to us, don't we? Do I have a witness? We know how God has blessed each and every one of us individually and personally. We know how God has provided and keeps on providing for us. Do I have a witness? That's a shout for somebody. Knowing this, we give because we have received from God, regardless of what others do. To keep the joy of giving family, we must not allow Satan to force us into playing the comparison game. We must keep our focus on God's word that encourages us. I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your mind what you will give. That will protect you from sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. It feels good when we give what we have. Do I have a witness? That's why giving with a generous spirit, a spirit to tithe, feels good. Because it's not based on any specific determined amount. The tithe is based on what we have. If your income is $100 and you give $10, or if my income is $10 and I give $1, that I have given as much in proportion as the person who has given $100 from a 10 from their tithe, or one from their tithe, or 1,000 who has 1,000 to tithe off of. That's if you tithe it. Marinating time. I don't have to feel inferior because my $10 or my $1 and the person who gave $100 has no right to feel superior. Because that person has given no more. No more based on her or his income than a person who has less of a tithe to give based on their income. As a matter of fact, the person who gives much is merely following the scripture. From everyone to whom much is given. So before we complain about having to give so much, maybe we ought to think about the fact that we've received so much. Huh? We've been blessed, haven't we? So much. Because we couldn't give it if it hadn't been supplied, if we hadn't received it. Y'all don't hear me? I know we all go to work, but if you didn't have a job to go to, there would be no payday. I know you're smart and everything. You got degree and come from great pedigree, but some people were smart today and were blithering idiots on tomorrow. God has kept you clothed in your right mind so that you can go to work where you were hired to have a payday. Paul wrote, make up your mind what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories. It's just a bad time to mother. I don't have it. Arm twisting. Paul didn't say, each of you must give based on your bills and expenses. I'm glad somebody said something. You know, trying to decide to tithe. Man, it's tight this month. I don't know if I can. Trying to decide to give generously based on our bills or obligations is like trying to walk on water while looking at the wind and the waves. Huh? Peter found out that he could not walk steadily through the storm, but he could walk on the water through the storm as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus. Family, looking at Jesus didn't mean that the storm disappeared. Looking at Jesus didn't make the wind stop blowing or the waves calm down, but looking at Jesus helped Peter to stay focus. Family, we need to look at our obligations. Many of us would not give at all, let alone tithe, looking at Miss Visa and Mr. MasterCard and the Red Bottom store and the Gucci store and Joseph Banks and many of us are already on the verge of financially sinking. Abraham already sunk. Trying to make ends meet is difficult to do for most of us. It's like trying to keep from sinking while on a stormy sea. To tithe, family, to give generously, doesn't mean that a person has forgotten about their bills. To tithe, to give generously, doesn't mean that our bills automatically disappear. That's prosperity thinking. Those who tithe simply understand that there is another power at work in the midst of our financial storm. Do I have a witness? Are there any tithers in the house? Wait, let me say that again. Are there any tithers in the house? I was about to call altar call. The winds and the waves obey what Jesus says. In other words, the Lord is able to make a way out of no way through our financial storms. Well, I got a shout right there myself. I got a shout myself. I'm not talking about your, I'm talking about myself. Brother Barry, got to buy you for my house, brother. We're 30 days away. I got a shout. I got more than one shout. We don't know how turbulent the times of life will become. We don't know how long the economy will remain stable or when it will collapse again. You don't know that, you do know that there's another recession on the horizon, don't you? They're predicting the next recession. But this we know, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will stay afloat by our faith. Do I have a witness? If we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will bounce back by our belief. Paul wrote, I want each of you to take plenty of time to think it over and make up your own mind of what you will give. That will protect you against sob stories and arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. Paul didn't say each of you must give according to what's in your pocket or your pocketbook. Boy, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? We cannot give solely on the basis of our bills. Neither can we give our giving be based solely on the resources that we see. The resources that we see. The paycheck that is coming. The resources that we see. The number of hours of overtime that we can work. The resources that we can see. Are you with me? As children of God, we must never forget that we have resources unseen. Do I have a witness? As a matter of fact, our unseen resources are greater than the resources that we can see. Paul says in that same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Bills that we see are light problems that soon pass away. You know, dear, we make a bill and we work and we pay it off so that we can make another bill. Pay it off and make another bill. And, you know, just they come and go. The money that we have is temporary. In other words, money comes and money goes. Whole lot of folk lost a whole lot of money playing that big billion-dollar lotto. Money comes and money goes. Money doesn't stay with us forever. Some of us are saving all this money and we're ready and waiting on retirement. And when our time comes to spend that money, we leave the planet and our children will fight over it. Our family will fight over it. Money comes and money goes. In one hand and out the other. Money doesn't last very long. From millionaires to no heirs, we make money and we spend money. Money comes and money goes. But God's unseen resources and power last forever. We have unseen resources in Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness? Money comes and money goes, but unseen, the unseen presence of Jesus never leaves us. We have resources unseen, for Jesus has promised never to leave us alone. Do I have a witness? Money comes and money goes, but the unseen keeping power of the Holy Ghost is forever. We have unseen resources. Truth is, some point in our lives, the only way we can make it is by our unseen resources. Did you hear what I said? Unseen resources. How can you explain the survival of our families, our people, our ancestors when enslaved and worked for 500 years and then freed and pushed into poverty, not given a fair opportunity? How did our ancestors make it? I'll tell you how they made it: by the unseen resources of God. Do I have a witness? That's how some of us have survived being single parents, by resources unseen. It's how we survive in our families, resources unseen. That's how we've raised our children, resources unseen. It's how we've made it through the good old boys system, resources unseen. How have we made it in a society whose policies are largely against black and brown people, resources unseen. It's by resources unseen that women continue to rise and prosper in a society that seeks to marginalize them. Resources unseen. How will we make it through a time of being trumpetized? It's, thank God, I'm glad y'all got it. It's resources unseen. As long as we sacrifice and give, struggle and strive in behalf of the kingdom of God, let us never forget that we have resources unseen. I want you to take plenty of time. Think it over. Make up your mind of what you will give. That will protect you from sob stories, arm twisting. God loves it when the giver delights in giving. Giving out of a sense of competition doesn't feel good, because that kind of giving comes from ego. Giving by looking at our bills or resources doesn't feel good, because it comes from a kind of giving that comes from the head and not the heart. Giving while disliking doesn't feel good, because it's done from fear. But giving can and does feel good when it comes from the heart. True giving is a matter of the heart. Giving from the heart is joyful giving. Giving from the heart is the giving out of love, for God so loved the world that he gave. It feels good to love. Do I have a witness? It's a joy to love. That's a shout for somebody. That's why God loves the cheerful giver, because the cheerful giver is joyful. I wish our members from the continent would talk about that, because at offering time, they don't walk down the aisle. They dance. Bring the offering. Dance that aisle. They're joyful. They're glad about what they have to give. To give it unto the Lord. Do I have a witness? The cheerful giver loves God. Loving givers, those that love the Lord, don't give out of pride. They don't give because they've got to give. Those that love the Lord give because they feel. They don't give because they feel like they have to. Loving givers give because don't give because no one else will give. The loving giver gives because when they think of how good God has been to them and they know that God loves them, they want to reciprocate the love. Do I have a witness? Who would stay in a relationship where there's no reciprocation of love? We're going to take that one to couples ministry next month. We sacrifice and give even when we can't afford it because great is our love for God. That's why we are generous even when we're talked about and criticized, because great is our love for the God who has given to us. We'll give if nobody else gives, because great is our love for the God who has given to us. Great is our love for God. Do I have a witness? When I think about the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross at Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. Father, to your hand. No. My God, why have thou forsaken me? But he did not, Jesus, and would not come down from the cross because of his love for his God. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Lord, I have done everything that you have asked me to do because I love you. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I'm going to think and take plenty of time and make up my mind of what I'm going to give. That will protect me from sob stories, arm twisting. God loves it. God delights in a giver who delights in giving. Can we stand on our feet all over the church?